Chavakuk, Perigimel. Chavakuk, Perigimel, up to Perik. We started a few psukim in. Okay, let's start from. We start Pasuk Zayin. Tachas Oven. We'll read the Pasuk Ches. We'll start the Pasuk Ches. Well, not really. Really in the middle. Let's start from a fresh place. Let's have Pasuk Ches. Okay, let's start from there. Pasuk Ches. There's a very big grow on Pasuk Ches. Let's start from there. Havin Horim Chora Hashem. We're going to read the Pasuk first with Pasuk Pshat, then we'll do the Rashi. Rashi and the Mitzudois. Havin Horim. We didn't really do this Pasuk before. We should really go back. We didn't do Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav. Okay, let's go back to Pasuk Vav. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Omad vayimoded eretz ra'ah vayater goyim. Pasuk Vav. Paragimel Pasuk Vav. Hashem stood. He stood up. Vayimoded. Moded means to measure. Moded means to measure. He measured Eretz, the earth. What did he measure? We'll see in a few moments. He measured their averos. He measured the averos of the nations of the world. I'm putting everyone on mute. Okay. Amad vayimodid Eretz. He measured everyone in the world. And then Ro'ah vayater goyim. He saw their sins. Vayater. He released them. He released the goyim. Vayispoitetzu harei ad. He dispersed the mighty mountains. Shachu givois olam. He destroyed the hills of the world. Halichois olam lo. Okay, this is a very important pasuk. It's good that we didn't skip this. The ways of the world are to Hashem. Loi is Begematria 36. This is the source of the principle that many of us are familiar with, that there are 36 tzaddikim in this world. Okay, there are 36. The shir does not have 36 people, so there are still some slots available. If anyone wants to come and be from the 36 people, halichos, the way of the world is loyis to Hashem. Okay, we'll discuss this at length. Let's go back to the Mitzudos David. What does this pasuk mean? Derech pshat. Pasuk vav in the Mitzudos David. Omad, vayimoded eretz. Kasher omad ha'orain ba'aretz. When the orain, we learned this last time, we went through the entire perek, when the orain ha'kodesh, when it traveled through Eretz Yisrael in conquest of the land, what happened? Kavshu oisa, it conquered the land, v'chilkua l'shvatin b'midah b'chevel. The orain, it was what was responsible for dividing the land up by rope. Okay, so this Mitzvah stuff is telling us something very important. That is that the way the land was divided. This is a very big mystery. We discussed this last time. This is a very big mystery. What exactly took 14 years to divide, to conquer the land? We know the land, there were 14 years which Klal Yisrael engaged in battle, Milchama. The battle to conquer the land only took 7 years. But then it says it took another 7 years to divide the land. Now the average person asks the question, what took 7 years to divide the land? It takes 5 minutes. You go and you have a goyel, and within 5 minutes you can decide where every shevet will live. Why did it take 7 years to divide the land? Obviously, there's a lot more going on in dividing the land than we know about. And here, this pasuk gives us at least a small degree of insight into what took so long to divide the land. Rash, the Mitzvah Stav learns, Ka'asher ha'oroin som einoi ba'aretz. I'm sorry, Vayimoid Eretz, the beginning, Omad. What was Omad? Omad, according to the Mitzvah Stav, it refers to the Oroin HaKodesh. The subject of the expression is the Oron. The Oron stood in the land. Kavshu I saw, it was the Oroin that conquered the land, the Chilkuha, and the Oroin divided it, Lashvatim, Bimida, by measurement, Bechevel, and by rope. So it wasn't the dividing of the land was not something that was done by human beings. It was done by the Arayin. Now, what do you mean the Arayin? The Arayin is not a living creature. Well, obviously there is something more to it that we do not know. It was Minas Shamayim. It was a process, and we had to wait and be patient until the Arayin led the way, I guess through the Anani HaKavod or through other mysterious things that happened. It was not in our hands to divide the land according to our liking, according to our will. It was done min hashamayim through, I am assuming, miracles that we're not familiar with, and that required us to wait. In life, the most painful thing can be waiting. Like I told you once, that they interviewed one of these, a sniper. You know, people, these experts said, what's the hardest part of the job? And the answer is the waiting, to wait. Just to wait and wait and wait and wait. That is the skill of being a sniper. Once you know how to press the button, today it's all computerized. Today, all of these weapons that they have, they're made with such precision. It's incredible. So almost anyone, I don't know anyone, but you don't have to be the greatest genius to be a sniper. There's training, of course there's skill, but the weapons are extremely sophisticated, they're all computerized. So what is the skill that you need today? To wait, patience. Who today has patience? Nobody. Today we live in the microwave generation. I want it now, and I want it hot. It's a very difficult thing to wait. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, if it was up to us, we could have divided the land in a second, in a heartbeat. We'll have an algorithm. We'll take the census, the number of people in each shevet, and put it into a computer. And within seconds, the land will be divided for the entire Klal Yisrael. That's not the way it worked. It was done very slowly, very patiently. There was a lot of waiting. It was done through the Aron. Next, Ra'ah, Kasha, Aron, Sam, Einai, Ba'aretz. Here it says, according to the Metzudas David, that the Aron had eyes. Where would you ever see such a chazal? To say such a thing that the Aron HaKodesh has eyes? The Aron HaKodesh, it stands, Omad. The Aron HaKodesh measures. Well, that's what it says over here. It says over here that the Aron has all of these characteristics. It saw some Einai Ba'aretz. It put its eye in the land, and it divided. It divided the land. Some Einai Ba'aretz Hayamatik Esa'amim, and it would uproot nations. Legarsha Me'aretzam, to uproot them, to drive them out of their land. Okay. The next words of the Metzudas Pasuk the next words are Vayispaitzitzu. I'm a perik gimel pasik vav vayispaitetzu heodim hakavuyim me'olam hayu mispaitzim u'mishtabrim v'hushbulu hagavois hakavuois mimois olam. The long established institutions, the long established kings and mighty nations were now obliterated. They were humbled. They were removed from this world. Along with the mountains that were established from days of old, they were smashed, and they were humbled. The hills that have been established from time immemorial, they also were destroyed. And what does this refer to? The Metzudas David clearly explains, the kings of the nations and their princes in Shemayim, their ministering angel, Karu v'nafalu, they were cut down, and they were cut off. Halichais Olam Lo. This is a very, very, very popular pasuk. Ritzon Leimar.
By the way, it's interesting that he borrows the phrase Karu v'nafalu.
Aleinu.
Ema Karu v'nafalu v'anachnu kamnu v'niso
dud. Right, that's exactly from Aleinu. From Aleinu, we actually said it right. Isn't that what we're saying, Aleinu?
No, I'm sorry, Lam Natsaya.
He's borrowing from a pasuk in Tehillim, correct? The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to destroy these mighty nations and these kingdoms is because the word halichos means the ways of the world are to Hashem. Hashem is the one who controls this world, and He is the one who has shlita. Therefore, he was able to humble and to destroy, to obliterate these nations. Okay, this is the Pshuta Shel Mikra according to the Mitzvot David. There is an awesome chiddush. He takes this pasuk vav, and he understands that we are describing the conquest of the land. We have to remember, we learned before Yom Tov, that this entire perek is describing Jewish history. We start back in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of Matan Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he offered the Torah to the Umo Yisraelam, they rejected it, he gave it to Klal Yisrael, and then Hashem took us in the Midbar, and he obliterated the kingdom of Og Melcha Bashoin, v'chulu v'chulu. We survived miraculously in the desert for 40 years. He then took us into Eretz Yisrael. We conquered the 31 kings. And this pasuk discusses the next step of conquering, of dividing the land, which he understands to be done through the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh was the tool which divided the land for Klal Yisrael. And then the later psukim go on to talk about our history in Eretz Yisrael, our different events. And the main thing that the Mitzudas David focuses on is Chizkiyahu Melech Yisrael and how he was able to overcome, to survive Sancheirif, the miracle of what happened in the time of Chizkiyahu. And then it goes on to describe what's going to happen in the times of Yimos HaMashiach, Melchemes Goig Umagoig. But now, at this snapshot of this story, we're focusing on the Kibur Sha'aretz, the conquest of the land, which was done through the Aron. The Aron here is giving human characteristics. The Aron is standing. The Aron is measuring. The Aron is seeing. And the Aron is Vayater, is uprooting and driving out long-established nations and kings from the earth, in order to prepare it for Klal Yisrael. That is a very unique interpretation presented to us by the Mitzudos. We've never heard this before. We never remember hearing such a thing, to say that the Aron HaKodesh has human characteristics. The only thing closest to this is where we know that Chazal tell us is that Bnei Levi, many of the members of the Shevet Levi died when they carried the Aron HaKodesh. David HaMelech as well, in the story of Uzziah, when David HaMelech, he tried to bring the Aron HaKodesh from Givon to Ir David, or when it was conquered, by the Pelishtim, it was taken to Gass by the Pelishtim, and David wanted to take the Aron back to Ir David, and the people died. The Levim who tried to transport the Aron, they died, because the Aron is extremely sensitive, and those that are not deserving to be in its presence would die when they came in contact with the Aron. Now, we always simply understand that to mean that the sanctity, the Shekhinah that is resting upon the Aron, is what took the life of people who are not worthy to be in its presence. However, after you read this pasuk, there is a new dimension in appreciating what that means. Because according to the Mitzvot David, the Aron had human characteristics. It stood, it measured, it drove out kingdoms. Does that mean that the Aron itself was a living organism and it decided, miyichya miyamos, if it did not like a person because a person was not behaving, a person was not pure, was not tar, was not a kodesh, so the Aron itself had human characteristics and it could decide who miyichya miyamos? I have no idea. But one thing is for sure, this parish on the pasuk of the Mitzvot David is shocking. It definitely sheds new light every time you read, and you read a chazal that tells us that Shevet Levi was relatively speaking small, or was diminished in number, because the Aron did not tolerate Levim that were not 100% holy attempted to come near, to come close, and carry it in the midbar. You know, that's all about, this all ties back to the mitzvah of Hagbalah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu over and over, three times, make sure you tell Klal Yisrael, don't go near the mountain. The mountain is holy, you're not worthy. We find throughout history, people don't listen. They don't listen when it comes to social distancing is something which a rabbi told me over Yom Tov. He never understood the parasha of Hagbalah until this year, because he's a rabbi, and he was resisting. He told us, a rabbi in Lakewood, he told me until the Erev Yom Tov, he told me that he was resisting tooth and nail not to open up his shul. He did not want to open up the shul because he knows that his balabatim will not follow the rules of social distancing. They will not wear masks. They will not behave in a responsible way. So even though technically on paper he could have and he should have, and even whether it's legal, he told me it's not really legal. He says all of the shuls in Lakewood are open, and it's illegal because it's more than the law still in New Jersey. Only 10 people are allowed to be present indoors in a public in a house of worship. Only 10 people indoors, 25 people outdoors. And every single shul in Lakewood has more than 10 people indoors. So basically every minyan is illegal, but the police have decided to turn a blind eye on the situation, and every shul is open. And he came under enormous pressure from his balabatim to open up the shul because they're going out of their mind. Their kids are all over the place. They're literally climbing the walls and the ceilings, and they need to air out their head, whatever it is. And he basically refused until now to open up, because not because he can't do it, he can do it, and he's not afraid. He's not worried about the law, because no one's worried about the law, and he's not worried about people getting sick because. Everyone will wear a mask and everyone will maintain a safe distance. But he said he knows that once they come into shul, they're going to take off their mask and they're not going to social distance. That's the way it's going to be. And then he understood. He read the parsha of Hagbalah. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the people to keep at a distance. They should social distance themselves from Har Sinai. So Moshe goes down and he says to Klal Yisrael, Hashem said, social distance. Hagbel es hahar v'kidashto. Distance yourself. So Hashem then says to Moshe, tell them again. So Moshe says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I already told them. What do you want me to tell them a second time? Hashem says, trust me. They're not going to listen. Go down and tell them again. So Moshe went down and told them again. And the rabbi told me on Sunday, he said, so I gave in to public pressure. I opened up the shul. I made them all wear masks and social distance. But they didn't listen. They didn't want to put on the masks. And after one or two tefillos, they were not social distancing themselves from each other properly. Just like Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, even though I told you to tell them Hagbalah, tell them again, because I'm telling you they're not going to listen. So this year, for the first time, we had an appreciation of what it means, Hagbalah. How could it be in turn to the time of the Bayesheni, that there were 300 Kohanim Gedolim who died? Basically, every single year, there was a new Kohen Gadol who went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and did not come out alive. Or if he came out alive, he did not survive the year because he went into a place that he did not belong. So didn't the next Kohen Gadol on the list, on the roster, didn't he learn the lesson from the previous Kohen Gadol not to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Why did he have the need to go in? Obviously, there is some type of drive that we don't appreciate. There is some power in a makom kodesh that, like a magnet, it draws a person in. even though he is not roi, and a person will be able to is blind to the sakana, to the point where he will actually lose his life. You see that clearly by the Kohanim Gedolim. They did not learn the lesson. They all entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They entered into the Kodesh HaKadoshim year after year, even though their predecessor died, and they had to be fools to think that they're going to be better than the guy before them. Yet the Yetzer Hara, that drive to come in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was so powerful, it blinded their eye. It was the same exact thing regarding the Levim who carried the Aron HaKodesh in the Midbar. Chazal say the Aron HaKodesh killed numerous Levim who attempted to come near the Aron and carry the Aron in the Midbar. Question, why didn't the Levim learn a lesson from the previous Levim? If their cousin, their brother, their father died by attempting to carry the Aron in the Midbar, why did the next Levi on the line, did he think that he is going to be better? He's going to be better than the previous Levi. Mr. Gross, are you calling me? Alan Gross, are you calling me? You're right over here. What's going on over here? What's going on over here? Why did the Levim think that they're going to be better? They're going to be better than the previous Levi. Obviously, there is something about the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Aron, that was Moshech, that pulled people towards it with an intensity that blinded them from the reality.
Okay. So let's continue. Over here, obviously, there's something over here about the Aron. The Aron over here had this power, this magical power to draw in Levim. It was Moshech. The sanctity of the Aron was extremely intense, where it drew people in. It pulled people in to its presence and blinded them to the danger of coming near. Because Chazal tell us that the Aron took the life of numerous members of Shevet Levi. Many members of Shevet Levi attempted or volunteered to participate in carrying the Aron in the desert, and when they came within its vicinity, they died. Because the Aron, the sanctity, took the life of these people. They were not worthy. So the question is, why didn't the next guy on the line why didn't he learn the lesson from the person before him? If the person before him died because of the intensity of the Kedusha, so why did the next slave think that he is going to be any better and he's going to live? Why were there 300 Kohanim Gedolim in the time of the Bayis Sheni if one Kohen Gadol died when he came into the Kodesh HaKadosh? Why did the next Kohen online think that he's going to be any better and he's going to survive? Obviously, there was something extremely intense about the sanctity of the Aron, and by extension, the Aron, meaning the Aron in the Midbar when they carried the Aron, and it's the same, well, in the Bayis Sheni there was no Aron, but the Mokoyim of the Kodesh HaKadosh was sacred. There was something very holy about that place, and that holiness was extremely powerful, where it pulled people in to its presence and blinded them from the reality of the danger of, do you realize that if you're going to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh, you just may die. If you're going to go carry the Aron, you die. They were blind because of the intense pull of this Makam. And by extension, Har Sinai Hagbalah. Hashem had to tell Moshe Rabbeinu 3 times, tell the people, do not come near Har Sinai. Why? Why was that necessary? Because the intensity of sanctity that was present on the mountain when Hashem came to give the Torah was so powerful, it drew people in. And Moshe had to warn them again and again, stay far away. It's interesting to say we're living in a time now where people are telling us, don't go to shul. If you go to shul, it's going to kill you. Okay, it's a sakana. Yet that sanctity pulls people in. It blinds them to the reality of, you know, you're coming to a place that's dangerous. It's an amazing phenomenon that's repeating itself in our time. Whatever, if you can even make such a comparison, I don't know if what I'm saying of it makes any sense. But one thing I want to tell you about is going off on a tangent over here, and this is very important over here, I'm taking a joke over here to welcome everyone who came back from Yom Tov. I can prove to you that Matan Torah was done via Zoom. How do you know Kabbalas HaTorah was given via Zoom? Prove it to you. It's this HaTorah. On the second day of Shavuos, we start off, V'Hashem Beheichal Kodshoi Has Mipanov Kol Haaretz. How do you translate the pasuk Has Mipanov Kol Haaretz? The translation is, can everyone please mute yourself? No, is that not correct? Is that not the correct translation? The callus, is that not the correct translation? Has Mipanov Kol Haaretz is translated in my edition of the Art Scroll. Can everyone please mute yourself? Vayaskolev. Can everyone please mute yourself? So that has to mean that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael via Zoom. That's the most popular expression today. Can everyone please mute yourself? Okay, getting back to something serious. Let's go now to Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Vav says, Omad Vayimoided Eretz. The second day, yes, that's the real deal. Hashem beheichal kotshoi, Hashem was in his abode. He came to give us the Torah, and the first announcement he made before he gave us Anoch Hashem Elokecha, can everyone please mute yourself? There's too much feedback. Okay, that was a joke, but I hope you got it. Next. Omad Pasuk Vav, Omad Rashi, Omad Vayimoded Eretz Himtin Ledaktek Bidin Dor Hamabul Limdoid Lohem Mida Keneged Mida Umodat. Rashi obviously is not learning the Pasuk anything near the parish of the Mitzudos David. We're not discussing Kibush Haaretz. We're not discussing the Oroin. We are discussing a different time and a different subject. The subject is the Ribbono Shel Olam B'Chvoido V'Atzmai. The subject, the time period is the Dor HaMabul. Chavakuk over here is describing the Midos of Hashem. This is the Tfilula Chavakuk. Chavakuk is begging Hashem to continue to conduct himself with the Mida of standing up and defending his people. And the first thing he says is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the time of the generation Dor HaMabul, Himtin, you waited, Ledaktik, Bedin Dor HaMabul, Limdoit Lohem, Mida Kineged Mida Umodat. The Modad is the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the unique Hanhaga of the one that made it realized this hanhaga and spelled it out like none other was Yisroi. Ata yodati ki gadol Hashem mikol Elohim ki vadovar asher zodu alehem. Rashi on that pasuk tells us Yisro observed that the Egyptians tried to drown the Jewish people. Kol habein hayiloid hayoira tashlichu. How did Hashem punish the Egyptians? Kriyas Yamsuf. They drowned in the Yam. Mida kineged mida. This is something that is unique to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam is noig. Do we see this mida of mida kineged mida? And this appears throughout Tanakh. In Yisro spells it out like no one else. Rashi on this pasuk injects that reality into the words here. Omad, the subject is Hashem. He stood. Vayimoded, he punished the people. Mida kineged mida. Rashi in Parashas Noach tells us that the sin, one of the many sins, was they were shitufei zima. They sinned beroyschin. What does it mean beroyschin? Shechva zera. Shechva zera is released when a person is in a state of heat. Beroyschin. And therefore they were punished beroyschin. The waters in which they drowned were burning hot. It's as if they burnt in burning shechvas zera. This is Rashi in Chumash says this. That was the midah kineged midah of the Dor HaMabel. And Rashi, again, Lashitasa here is going back to that Rashi in Chumash, and he says, Himtin l'dachtek b'din Dor HaMabel, limdin l'hamidah kineged midah, period. Omad, Hashem stood. What's the significance of standing? K'moda at Omar, nitzav l'riv Hashem, Hashem stands to quarrel, v'oymeid, he stands l'odin amim. Mosun, umidaktek bidinam. Rashi here says something that is extremely interesting, that standing has a connotation of patience. Is that what we really would expect? I would think just the opposite. Sitting is an act of patience, right? We would omad kmodat omar nitzav l'riv Hashem. Hashem is nitzav, he stands. The oimeid, two words which seemingly mean the same thing, poetic repetition, the oimeid, he stands, lodin, to judge amim. That is the pasuk he quotes, and then now comes Rashi's commentary, mosun, mosun means patience, umidaktik, and precision, bidinom, in their judgment. Rashi is revealing that when you stand, it is a moment. The posture of standing brings out precision, brings out patience and precision. Sitting, it would... What about sitting? Is that really so, that standing in relation to Hoylech? You want to contrast this with the end of the pasuk of Halichos Oylem Loi? The end of this pasuk says halicha is to move, is to travel. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Now the reason why I'm saying this is because I once came across a sefer, and it's a fantastic sefer. I don't know what it's called. It's sort of many years ago. He goes through the entire Shulchan Aruch from beginning to end. Every halacha: should you sit or should you stand? If you're supposed to stand, what happens if you sit? Is it ma'akev? Are you yoytzei the mitzvah? Today, later on, I want to talk about Birchas Kehanim. It's one of the topics for today. Birchas Kehanim, it's in this week's parasha, Parshas Nosai. Is a Kohen allowed to sit when he recites Birchas Kehanim? Let's say a Kohen is in a wheelchair, or a Kohen is sick, and he can't stand. Is a Kohen allowed to move his wheelchair or to move himself to the front of the shul and sit down and recite Birchas Kehanim in a sitting position? This is a very difficult question to which there is no answer. It's Machlokes HaPoskim. Some say absolutely not, he may not, he should leave the shul. He should not be present in shul when there's Birchos Kohanim if he will not participate in a standing position. Others say no, he's allowed to sit and recite Birchos Kohanim. It's a very touchy, difficult question. You have a Kohen who's Moisa Nefesh to come to shul and he wants to participate, and the rabbi tells him, sorry, not only are you not allowed to participate, you have to leave. Can you imagine how insulting that is to a Kohen who comes in a wheelchair? He's Moisa Nefesh to come, and you're telling him to leave? I don't know, did anyone ever see the situation in shul? Such a situation? Other poskim say no.
My father was in a wheelchair, he walked out.
He wheeled himself out. Did anyone tell him to be wheeled out? Or on his own he did it, on his own. But what happens if... On his own. So what happened? Because he knew the halacha.
When he was with crutchers...
Yeah.
He was able to stand on his own.
Right, okay. He took away... leaning a little bit.
He went out.
He rolled himself out. So what happens if a kohen does not know this halacha, and he comes to shul, and he says to the rabbi, you know, I was moisa nefesh to come. You know what it took me to get here to shul today? And you're telling me now I have to leave not to participate in Birchas Kohanim? This is scandalous. You know, I'm going to report you to the media. how could you discriminate against a person who is on a wheelchair? Well, I'm sorry, that is the halacha. The halacha is la'amod l'sharet. Okay, we'll get to this a little bit later on. But the point is, every single halacha has its own set of laws of sitting and standing. When you make kiddush, do you sit, do you stand? When you make a birchas hamitzvah, do you sit, do you stand? When you make a birchas hashavach, do you sit and stand? When you make a birchas hanenin, do you sit or do you stand? Every halacha. So by the Ribbono Shel Olam, we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are times HaMelech Yoshev Al Kisei Rom V'Nisa. Hashem sits. And when it comes to punishing our enemies, it says Hashem is Nitzav Loriv Hashem V'Oimed Lodin Amim. Which gives us a connotation that when you, and Rashi here says a chiddush, that when Hashem wants to be precise, when Hashem wants to be mosun, patience, to bring out every single detail to punish our enemies, Hashem stands. When we recite Shemona Esrei, do we sit or do we stand? You must stand. It's called the Amida. You're standing. Why? Obviously, when you're standing, well, we assume the standing is because it's respectful. It's an act of submission and fear. But from this drasha, we get another point, is that there is an intensity or a medaktik bedinim is an intensity. There is a detail. We want to go through every little detail, and we want to be very patient not to miss. Okay, it's something you have to just keep in mind, and what this means, we'll come back to it later on. Next,
by you. Yes. Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Usually, judgment, I mean, every other time it's referred to is sitting in judgment. A Beis Din sits, it doesn't stand. And the pasuk you referred to earlier, Hashem sits. But maybe that is when the decision is made. But when it comes to carrying out the punishment, then Hashem stands up and takes
action
that he has determined.
I hear what you're saying, maybe, possibly. I don't know, it has to be discussed and developed to understand. And this Rashi is obviously a critical Rashi in understanding this principle of why is it that there are certain things that must be done standing, and there are certain things in halacha must be done sitting. It has to be understood. And even when we say sitting, what does it mean to sit? The most bizarre example is the brach of leishev basukkah. What does it mean to sit in the leishev, to sit in the sukkah? And many people make that bracha when they're standing. Isn't that a little bizarre? You make the brach, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kedem Melech Masher, Kedushanu, B'mitzvaysa, V'tzivanu, Leishev Ba'asukah. Kiddush at night. There are many people who make Kiddush in a standing position. And they make the bracha leishev asukah at night at Kiddush. And they make the bracha while they are standing. How could you make the bracha leishev asukah standing when the translation of the bracha is to sit? That's a contradiction. Who says sitting means to sit? Maybe sitting has a different connotation, it means to tarry. Let's go further. Vayimoded eretz b'roischem kilkelu uv'roischem nidainu. They were makalkel. They caused damage to the world through boiling hot liquid. This refers to shechvas zera. This is Rashi is repeating what he wrote in Parshas Noach, and therefore uv'roischem nidainu. They were punished with boiling hot water. The water in which they drowned was not just lukewarm, it was boiling hot. Hashem opened up the bottom of the earth, which brought forth heat and boiled water. Mida keneged mida. Ra'ah. Now, the next part of the pasuk, according to Rashi, is discussing the next generation. Ra'ah. Bidar haflaga. Yes?
The previous pasuk talks about movement. It says there, lefanav yeleich davel, veyetze reshet leraglav, deris raket hatzirai shalach lefanecha. There is something that moves, and then it says, amad tamasik. Amad, Hashem is not doing that. Hashem is not olech, Hashem is not yotze, Hashem, he stands up. Vaimodet eretz. And he, the Amidah, he started to do the whatever he does. It's contradiction of the previous pasuk.
Well, there are many verbs. There is yelech, there is yetzei, now there's omad, and then we're going to have in the end of the pasuk halicha, halichois. So you're right. There's a lot of different. There are many different positions. Hashem is being presented here. Before Hashem, there's that's only really Hashem. Before there, it says Lefanov. Before him is Yelech. That's not really Hashem. That's the Dover. The Yitzei Reshef. That's not Hashem. That's the Reshef. Here, where it describes Hashem, it's Omad, and then at the end of the pasuk it says Halichois. Halichois lashon Halacha is to move. So there, Hashem is presenting himself in two different forms, standing and moving, walking. What about sitting? That's not mentioned. Okay, let's go further. Let's see. Now we go to the next generation, Dor HaFloga. Rab Dor HaFloga shal yidei shal yush safa achas bo kulam be'etza achas kidusiv vayihi chol ha'aretz safa echas. The Dor HaFloga, they all joined together because they had the advantage of communication. Today, the internet. We are reliving this in our generation today, because the internet protocols are the same for the entire world. Although today there are many languages, and many people will argue that the English language, is taught in all countries. In every country, they train people to speak English because it comes to us. We live in the global village. Technology has removed all physical barriers, and we need to have one language where we can all communicate. And it's very clear that dominant language is English. In all the foreign countries, they're teaching people how to speak English. In Israel, they speak English. Everyone speaks English in Israel. And in China, they teach them how to speak in English. They teach English because when you want to do business on an international scale, we have to have one form of communication. But put that aside, today, technology, when you code, when you program, what is the bond that keeps everyone today together in technology? The internet, the protocols, the languages are, it's the same. HTML, JavaScript, and all of the new, I'm not familiar with all of the new languages that are used to program the computer, is the same whether you're living in the United States of America, or you're living in Africa, or you're living in China, or you're living in the North Pole. It's the same language that is studied in order to program the machine so that we all can communicate. And the challenge to this generation and going forward is, are we now going to take the Safa Achas, this one language, this one protocol, which is technology, which is universal, which bridges all of us together? Are we going to use it as a tool to sanctify Hashem? Or are we going to use this as a tool, Rachmana Litzlan, to rebel against Hashem? Until recent times, there was no such thing as a Safa Achas. There's no one unifying language. Every nation spoke their language. And if you traveled somewhere, you needed an interpreter. Today, there is something which connects everyone together. The internet. The internet is that Safa Achas, which links, you can be speaking to anyone, anywhere in the world in a second today with this technology. And this technology is the Safa Achas. This is the Haflaga. Sha'al Yidei Sha'ilham Safa Achas Bo Kulam Be'etza Achas Kedachsev Vayehi Chol Ha'aretz Safa Echas. This has been literally fulfilled in our generation. Vayater Goyim Hikpitzam L'Shivim L'Shayin. Hashem then dispersed them into 70 languages. K'mod At Omar V'Yitar Mimikoymoy. Hashem uprooted them from their place. Another pasuk, Linater Bohein, to disperse. They should be dispersed. Another expression, Linater Bohein, means to spread out. Next words, Hare Ad. What did Hashem disperse? The mountains, the mighty mountains. Sarei Humois means the princes of the nations. Halichos Olam Loi, Shehere Lohem Shekol Mahalocha Shel Olam Shaloihu. Hashem has revealed in the time of the Dor HaFlaga that it is Hashem's world. He is in control. Okay, now we're going to do the Radak on Pasik Vav. Let me put on the screen a picture. I just want to warn you now, when I put on the picture on the screen, I'm using today a different device, so it might be a little bit harder for me. I can't really see what's going to be on your screen. So you'll have to tell me if it's not clear. Okay, I hope you can see it. Is it clear? Okay, Pasuk Vav. Omad Vayimodet. Can you see this on the screen? Can you see this?
It's good.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
Omad Vayimodet Eretz. Hashem stood. Now, who's Omad? So far, we have learned two Perushim, the Mitzudos and Rashi. The Mitzudos understands the Pasuk to be describing the Oroin. We are describing Kibush Ha'aretz. Rashi understands the pasuk to be describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the era is the nature of Mida Keneged Mida, specifically the Dor HaMabel. The Radak is taking sides with the Mitzudos. Omad Vayimoded Eretz, Omad HaOroin BaGilgal. Gilgal was the first stop for the Oroin. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, the Oroin was stationed in Gilgal for 14 years. Begilgal arbo eshashana achakavshu haaretz vichulkua bemida by measure uvichedal. Ra'ah vayater goyim misham ra'ah. From there, the Oroin saw the land. Vihibit lenater hagoyim in haaretz, and it gazed to uproot the nations, referring specifically to the nations of Canaan, the 31 nations of Canaan that were living in the land. Min haaretz vayater perushay vayekapetz kimo. It means, now here he learns to jump. Lenater bohen al oretz. These are the grasshoppers. They jump on the earth. Kolaymar Hashem's presence was in Gilgal, and from there he prevailed upon the 31 kings of Canaan. Umapilam lefnei Yisrael ki ilibriya levad hoya mimisam. It's as if just gazing upon them brought about their death. This principle is brought out in the Gemara many, many times. There are many, many stories in the Gemara where a Talmud Chacham, he gave a look at a person, and the next words of the Gemara are, V'nase gal shel atzamais. And the person turned into a pile of bones. Does that mean it happened instantaneously, or does that mean it happened over time? It was a curse, he died. I do not know, but we do find an incredible principle that just looking at a person has power. And this is derived from Hashem. Hashem, this pasuk is really the source. Ro'ah. Just by Hashem looking. The Radak doesn't say the Aron looked. The Radak seems to say that it's the honor of Hashem, His divine presence. Just Hashem's gaze was enough to cause the kings to be defeated. A person who is a holy man is B'Tselem Elokim. His gaze alone can cause harm. His gaze alone can bring bracha, and the gaze alone can cause harm. Okay, next words of the Radak. The Radak, we have to go now to the next page. Okay, I'm going to put on the screen the next section. Hashem, He dispersed the mighty mountain, these mighty mountains. Moshal l'malchei Kenan, v'chein givos olam. It's exactly what the Mitzvah David said. Vayispeitzu, He dispersed them. Inyan shevira, to destroy, to break. Im hapizur, you don't just break something, you shatter it. K'moy ukepatish yifaitzet sela, like a spark, like a patish, a hammer that causes a rock to shatter into little pieces. Shachu mipoale hakefel v'chosar hakefel min tachtav shochachu. We are missing a ches. The correct word would be shochachu. Here we removed one of the ches. One ches is missing, but it means the same thing. It means to be destroyed. Now here's the next part that is very important. Halichos olam lo, mahalchei olam kulam lokel yisparach. This is a very beautiful pasuk. Halichos olam lo, the bottom line is, after everything is said and done, we come to recognize that the ways of the world are from Hashem. Lefichach yaseh bohem kiritzoinai, Hashem, He runs the world. Lehagbia ze ulahashbil ze, to elevate this person and to lower this person. Legorizeh, to drive out this person or this nation. Lahanichel zeh. V'omar halichois oylam, the ways of the world. Ki ha'oylam misnaheg al mahalchei ha'galgalim v'yakoy chavim. What appears to be, ki ha'oylam misnaheg al mahalchei ha'galgalim, the world appears to operate through mazolos and through stars, but the truth is loy. The truth is really is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. He is the one that controls everything. Lev milachim biyad Hashem. When a president of the United States makes a major decision which affects the lives of people, it's Hashem that puts that machshava into his mind. It's who will be elected, who will be appointed, who will be defeated. Everything that happens in this world ultimately comes back to halichos olam loy. It all comes back to Hashem. The yoinus on tirgim pasuk zal dor hamabel. Now he goes to Rashi. Rashi really took his interpretation from the Targum. What's the Targum say? The Malm Valdar Haflaga. These generations did not recognize Hashem. They chose to ignore Hashem. They would imagine, they made believe that there is no God in this world. Omad, Hashem stood.
V'here lohem ki hu adoin akol u'mashkich akol etznat. So Hashem is in control. Roitze lohem abimilas v'yimoded. This word v'yimoded. Shemodat lohem mida k'neged mida. This is what Rashi said. K'moy sh'amu b'rav seinu zal. B'roitzchem kilkulu u'b'roitzchem nidainu. They sinned through the avera of shitufei zima, arayos, which is shechva zera, which is called roischim. They were punished mida, connected mida. They were burnt in they drowned in boiling hot water. Ro'ah vayater goyim, ro'ah she no adu kulam b'mokay mechad livnei samigdol. Hashem saw that they all gathered together in one location to build the tower. Ubitil atzasam v'kivsa mishama kadosh baruch hu. He canceled their plan. V'efitza mishama al pnei kol haaretz, and he dispersed them. V'hera lohem ki alichos elamlo. Hashem showed them the ways of the world unto Hashem. Harei ad givay solam al teich mashluk moshe perashu v'chin tikkun v'nisan iskalei v'azia ara the earth shok moshe kasafti. Okay, now let's take a look at the Malbim. Malbim pasik vav. Okay, I'm going to put the picture on the screen of the Malbim. Malbim pasik vav. Right, we have in the Medrash. We do the Medrash in the bottom of the page. We'll talk about that. That's going to be the Medrash. Exactly. Okay, right. Now let's put on the screen the Malbim. Okay, Malbim. Here we go. The Malbim Pasuk Vav Amar. Atam Mefaresh Masha Amar Paolcha Bekerev Shrim Todia. Now we're going to explain this pasuk. The Malbim said, he broke up the beginning of the Perek into two parts. That Habakkuk is complaining to Hashem. And he's saying that in the past there are times when you have done open miracles. And there are times when you have performed hidden miracles. This section is part of the prayer that Hashem should once again conduct open miracles. Ha'oizahush v'yisoyer lahanig hanhogen nisiyis, a conduct, a miraculous conduct, behashkocha giluya, oz v'yimoded eretz, yachalif givulei mam lachoyis lahakim malchin Ulehade Malchin. That's a pasuk in the Neil. V'imodid gvulos eretz l'chalkan l'chevel l'chov she'arotzes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the past, he established kings and he measured boundaries to divide the earth among different authorities. Ra'ah, Ritzon Lemar, Eis Shelo Ya'atzoim Einav. Hashem did not close his eyes. Rak yire v'yashkiach oz v'yater goyim. Yinatrein m'mekoymam v'yolichem b'ashevi. V'yoz yispoitzu harei ad v'yashoichu givay solam shumashol el hoirodas hatakifim. The lowering of the arrogant, the mighty v'haritzim, the tyrants v'haisvanim. There are three words, takifim, the erotzim, the isvanim, moistei eretz. So here he's explaining over here is it's a prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the past has come along to defend Klal Yisrael. And he has done miraculous things to destroy our enemies. And he's praying over here, Omad, Hashem, you in the past, you stood up, vayimoded eretz. He learns the word vayimoded means to relocate, to measure the boundaries of the earth, and to divide our enemies. Okay, we have to really go to Daniel to understand what this means according to the Malbim.
that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is measuring the earth, is measuring where our enemies will end up, where their final destination will be after they're going to be scattered and dispersed. And Yater, same idea, Yater, the mighty nations, by Yater Goyim, he will untie or dislodge nations who have caused us pain. By Yispitzitzu Hariad, the Hariad is the same idea, everyone says, it means these mighty nations, Shach Givayis Elim HaLashem, will bring down the hills. Another metaphor for the authorities, the old established authorities of the world. And when these miracles happen, then it's going to be Halichos Olam Loi. It will be Hashem's eyes are opened. Open in contrast to Hester Panim. Hester Panim is concealment. It's as if Hashem's eyes are closed, or our eyes are closed. We cannot see Hashem. Here it's a Zman where everything is open, the eyes are open, and we're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sanhaga, not just us, the entire world. And the revelation is Halichos Olam Loi. Everyone comes to the conclusion, to the realization that the ways of Hashem are the ways of the world are to Hashem. Hashem is running the world. It's His world. He makes all of the decisions. All right, we're going to stop over here. At least we did a little bit. We'll take a short break, and after the break, I want to discuss a number of things about Birkas Kohanim. Okay, a couple of inyanim. Of the halachas, some of the halachas, and some of the minhagim birkas kohanim. See you back in a minute or two. How is everyone's shavuos, Mr. Naiman? How is your shavuos?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
Did anyone here go to shul on shavuos?
Yeah, I went. I went for the first time.
How was it?
It was very good. We had. Our school, we put the sukkah up, so we had the Rabbi Kursky, so we had three of us having the sukkah, four actually, people over 60, and then we had the window open, so we heard the opening, and then in the shul we had 10 people, and the Ezra Snushin, there were about another three or four. A lot of people were away. So we went by the book. The person who was the Balkore, he was a doctor, so he made sure that there was adequate distancing. And it was Baruch Hashem.
What did you do for the Aliyah? How did they lane? The Aliyah?
Oh, he laned the whole Pasha. No, he stopped.
And he got every Aliyah, the Balkore?
Yes.
Did anyone else go to shul?
Where I was. Yeah, I went to the first day only. They laned over there. Each person laned their own aliyah, and he was the only one. They were the only one by the omid. Then they walked away. The next one came.
I did not go to shul at all. And by night, first night, I was up 6 hours learning. No Devorim B'Tehillim, nobody was there, just me. And it was the greatest thing, it really was. Regular years, you went to shul, 5 minutes of learning, and the rest of the time talking. And Baruch Hashem, we did not do that.
Mr. Weiss, your Rebbe, Rabbi Shurkin, would be proud.
That's just Hashem. He should get to the space.
Anyone else go to shul?
Yeah, I did.
So what happened? Where'd you go?
I went here on the corner.
Basically, where, Merkaz?
Yeah. And we were able to have Aliyahs because he put up a mechitza on the bima. You know, except that you had to take a tissue to hold the right hand, the right side of the eighth, and then get off the stage as quickly as possible.
Interesting. Anyone else go to shul?
One table spread out about two dozen